Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to keep warm like everyone else.
Yes, and dig out with that heavy, wet snow.
Oh, yes. It was a good storm.
No doubt about it. And Punxsutawney Phil says we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter.
Imagine that.
Bad guy.
6 weeks, month and a half, you know, hey.
Yeah, that's about normal, though, for a Midwest in Illinois, right?
I think so. I heard on something that he's only correct 39% of the time. So maybe we won't.
But a great tradition nonetheless, right?
Yes, good for them.
Well, it is tax season, so a lot of people are scheduling time to do their taxes or doing it themselves. And there is a scam out there that we want to make sure folks are aware of.
Yes, actually there are 3 common tax scams at this time of year. And it, of course, because it's tax filing time and taxes are foremost in everyone's minds, these scams get hot and heavy at this time of year. The scams usually come in three reasons. There's the tax identity theft scam, where you may get contacted to say, hey, we're missing a vital piece of information to process the remainder of your tax return, and these scammers ask for your Social Security number so that they can then file a bogus tax return under your information and try to get an invalid refund. You can also receive a call from someone claiming to be from the IRS. These people say, hey, you owe us money. You've got to pay it right now. If you don't pay it, we'll be on the phone with the police to come and arrest you for tax evasion. And again, as in many scams, the red flags with this are that it has to be an immediate payment. You've got to do it right now. The payment has to be in the form of usually some sort of payment card, a Green Dot card or a money transfer or MoneyGram type of thing, where you can't get the money back once the payment is made. The third type of scam that you may see is an email phishing scam that says, again, either we didn't get all your information or you owe us money, click on this link to provide, to get more information and to provide the information we need. There can be a couple issues going on there. The link may actually install malicious viruses on your computer. Or again, it may be an attempt to get information, your Social Security number, your credit card information, that type of thing. Other than the identity theft one, which is trying to get your Social Security number, the common thing in these scams and almost any scam is immediate payment. We've got to make payment immediately. There's the threat of action by police or by someone in an authoritative position. And these scammers don't want you to take time to think about it. With the IRS, it's important to remember the IRS doesn't contact you by telephone as a first contact. You receive letters, you receive mail, you'll get several copies. If you don't respond to the first one, you get a second first notice, you'll get a second notice. And you are given numbers in those notices to contact. If you aren't sure about it, you can call the 800 number that's provided for the IRS. And you may have to wait a little bit, but you'll get a hold of a representative and explain the circumstances, who will then connect you with the right party within the IRS to help you.
Now, these scams, we wouldn't be talking about them if they weren't having success, unfortunately, with people.
Well, and as, again, with many scams, you scatter an email phishing scam, for example. You send it out to 1 million people and you get 10,000 responses. Well, you know, your return rate isn't that great, but boy, you got 10,000 pieces of information of Social Security number and credit card and name and address and date of birth. You can really go do a lot of damage with that information. The bad guys can.
Absolutely. So. And at any time, if you have a question, like you said, you can call the IRS directly.
Right.
You can call your tax preparer call your bank and they will help you.
Always, always. You know, if you have an attorney that helps you, your banker can help you. We look for language as well. You know, with the immediacy of the response, we also look for certain language. If you read some of the emails, the scam emails, the English in them, the grammar is not correct. And there'll be plural words when there should be singular, that type of thing. It just doesn't, and there'll be misspellings in them. You know, it just doesn't make sense to be coming as a professional letter from a professional organization.
Makes sense. What other scams are out there right now? This is a time after the holidays.
Right.
So do things calm down and then heat back up with tax returns?
Well, you know, the big one right now, of course, is the IRS scam. There are always debit card scams. We talk about this every time I'm on the radio, but that's I'm a banker, so it's near and dear to my heart. There are always debit card scams, and some of those if information was hacked during the Christmas season, sometimes the results of that hacking don't surface for anywhere from 3 to 6 months, although that timeline is speeding up. So most of your cards will have some sort of monitoring on them, so we always encourage people to respond. If you get a monitoring call, either respond it or call your bank, say, hey, is this legitimate type of thing? So,
now, there was some letters that were sent out on behalf of, I believe it was credit card companies, a couple months ago, stating your protection if your card is hacked or if there is identity theft, and had some interesting language in it about what the credit card company is responsible for up to a certain amount. Did you ever see one of those letters?
I did not. Okay. So, and was it legitimate or was it a scam?
It looked legitimate. It looked like your normal the letter you get about your information privacy policy.
Sure. And
it was
it
a letter like that.
Additional. Mm-hmm. And credit cards and debit cards are protected by federal regulation. And that may have been a confirmation of that information. The average person on the street may not be aware of it until it affects him or her directly. And if their credit card gets hacked or their debit card gets hacked. But there are some stringent federal regulations in place to protect the consumer against unauthorized credit or debit card use. Most of the credit card companies have even gone a step further. The regs make a person liable for maybe the first $50 if their notification to the credit card or the bank is made within a specific time frame. Most of the credit card companies waive that $50, and many of the banks will as well.
Okay. So. And it's always important to let your bank and your credit card company know if you're going to be doing traveling outside of your normal.
It continues to be even more important because with the monitoring services, again, monitoring's based on a pattern of usage. And so if you're in Monmouth, Illinois, and suddenly your card's getting used in California, that card's not going to work. Number one, because it's outside of your pattern. Number two, because California happens to be a place where a lot of fraud takes place. Fraud occurs in California, so.
Okay.
There are literally websites devoted for the bad guys to providing debit and credit card numbers. So once they're stolen through whatever means, you can, if you know the access to them, you can go on these websites and purchase. And depending on how old the number is, the card may be less expensive. It includes a PIN. It may be more expensive too. Even includes zip code of the owner. That adds some expense to it too. But most of the bad guys know that what they spend will pale in comparison to what they can get by making fraudulent charges and returns and that type of thing.
Yeah, because basically they use it till it's shut down.
Correct.
And whatever, whether it's $300 or in one case, we had someone here in Monmouth several years ago, their credit card was used to buy a car.
Sure.
They had enough credit on their account that someone was able to buy a vehicle. Talk about a wake-up call there. It's like, whoa.
You're not
down in Texas, are you? Nope, but you just bought a car there. That is not a good phone call you want to receive.
No. Well, unless they kept it from happening, then that is the phone call you want to receive.
Exactly. And that is so very true.
Yes.
And the other thing, too, is if you think your debit card has been hacked or you think there's been an unauthorized purchase, they've got to let you know as soon as possible because you can be on top of this rather quickly. And it doesn't just stop there. You guys have been able to work with authorities and certain there was a ring once in Europe that you guys were able to find due to like a coffee shop where a whole bunch of people had used cards at a coffee shop and you guys were able to figure it out.
Yes.
You guys are now private investigators. No,
not by choice. But yes, and any bank will do this and most of the neural networks that do the monitoring. We look for a common point of use. And it so happens that in the situation you're talking about, the common point, if I remember correctly, was overseas. Well, we had a few students overseas, but not a whole lot of people, so it wasn't too difficult to find that common point of use in that situation. Mm-hmm. So we have contacts, local law enforcement on up a couple levels, even to a federal point, where if we find common points, we can turn that in as well.
Good.
We belong to a couple of trade organizations that look for the same thing, where they share information about potential hacks, that kind of thing.
Okay. Do you feel like that large companies are doing their best to get control? We've had so many hacks in 2014 with Home Depot's, Target's, different ones for whatever reasons, but it seems like that's coming down now. We haven't heard a lot lately.
I think that liability for a hack falls on the entity that issued the card, whether it's a credit card company, which is ultimately funded by a bank, or whether it's a bank issuing a debit card. There's not a lot of incentive outside of the financial institutions to get that fixed. There is some congressional federal action that the liability will shift if and the cards and the card readers are supposed to go to a chip and pin situation, mm-hmm. which is a little safer. Europe has been using that for several years now. And so because of that, a lot of the fraud is focused at the United States, where we still rely on that magnetic strip on the back of the card. The chip and pin adds a couple layers of security to it. When the card is present, okay? So if you're ordering over the internet or the phone, that security, that chip and pin isn't going to make any difference. By October of this year, we're supposed to be in the process of issuing chip and pin cards, and the retailers are supposed to be working towards being able to read those chip and pin cards. It requires new equipment on all sides, so there is some expense to it, but it has become a federal, congressional act that the liability will shift a little bit if you're not using those chip and pin cards.
Interesting.
So there are steps being taken. Chip and pin is not necessarily the final solution. Apple iPay is coming out, and it literally creates a temporary one-time use card number as it does its algorithms through the payment system. And so that becomes a higher level of security, but I have read even that has been potentially hacked as well. So it's just as fast as the industry moves, the bad guys move just as fast. So we have to be really on our toes.
Absolutely. Do we have any idea what kind of characteristics or where these bad guys are?
There seems to be an Eastern European large presence, but as I said, those cards are for sale
right
on the internet and can be purchased and used anywhere.
Wow.
So I think the card stealing probably comes from a pretty concentrated group, but the use of the cards is all over.
Wow. It's like their own database.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
And
terrible.
Then some.
Well, Dorothy, I appreciate the information. Anything else you want to share this morning?
Well, just say, as with any scam, and I'm going to head us back to the tax scams now, because it's this time of year, you don't have to react spur of the moment. You can take time. You can take 24 hours to think about anything. There's nothing that's going to go away in the next hour and a half
right.
if you don't react. You're not going to get arrested. And especially if you're in Monmouth and the surrounding areas, if they you get a call and says the bad guy or the bad guys are going to send the police after you to arrest you, we know our local law enforcement people. Give them a call. Call up and say, hey, what's going on? If this is on your home line, try to get your cell phone and call in at the same time while you're on the phone with these people. And I bet the phone call-ins real quickly from the bad guys.
I'll bet it does. Okay, Dorothy, thank you very much. Very good information.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
And you too.
Dorothy Ricketts with us from Security Savings Bank on 1330 WRAM.